Amen. As I was reflecting back on last night and looking forward to today, I was reminded that Andy, Dave, and myself, we are not Dennis Rainey. With the weekend to remember, we're not Matt Chandler or John MacArthur, John Piper, whoever your favorite preacher podcast that you may be eagerly looking forward to week in and week out. We are not those men, but what we are is we are pastors that love you, shepherds that desire, you know, to see God be glorified in our marriages. And, we could get wrapped up and, hey, we got four tables here, man, you know, we should be rethinking strategies, bring in a big name or something and do better on the marketing and get this place filled out. That's not what it's about. That's not what this is about at all. And, as we sat down and we considered priorities, things, all the things that we could do, you know, out of the gates, moving into a new facility and in a new building, taking a dedicated time to simply invest in the marriages of our church, it is top priority. And so I hope, in again, our feeble attempt to make this a special time and in our feeble attempt to teach and to preach this content, I pray that you'll be encouraged and blessed. And so the question, just by way of introduction, is kind of why now? And as we look around in the world that we live in, as you consider even, you know, extended relationships, family, co-workers, the like, you probably know somebody who has a marriage at this moment that is struggling in a real way. Like, marriage is in a rough spot. We probably all know somebody like that. Maybe it's you, right? Maybe yours is trending towards a not healthy state. But regardless, to answer the question why now, the why now is because it's needed. Because Satan desires to discredit, out of all the things that he could attack and that he could go after, marriage is his top priority, because marriage is probably the most clearest expression of the gospel, right? We just went through that in our covenant membership series when we looked at those biblical family roles of husband and wife. This is the greatest, the biggest, the most significant bullseye that Satan has in this world. It is certainly marriages, and he is wreaking havoc in both the world and the struggles that we see there, but also inside the church. As we considered what to do, there's nothing necessarily super special about this. We believe this is really good content, but more than anything else, it's just an opportunity to talk about marriage and talk about the covenant of marriage and its priority and its role and its purpose that God has designed before the foundation of the world, that Christ, his only begotten Son, would be exemplified and demonstrated through this covenant of marriage, this union of Christ and the church. So I hope with that significance that the creator of the universe has in this institution of marriage, I pray that maybe that would raise the bar in our minds of how we view marriage and thus how we engage in marriage and how we steward marriage. And again, this is just something that, as we think back on our own story and our own marriage, and we'll interview a few couples here in a short time, it's so easy to just get complacent and satisfied with just a mediocre marriage, of just going through the motions, of just, hey, it's another day, another week, another year. Those years start piling up, and it's just another decade. And before you know it, like, you know, you've got a lot of years that were just kind of so-so, right? And so I think that's the call that we have in this time, is for us to think beyond the mediocre, just complacent, lukewarm, stagnant pond type of marriage. And let's think about what God really has for us and what he desires for us in marriage. And let's just give a collective nod to say, hey, when we leave this place, we're just going to take us one step closer to that. Doesn't mean we're going to walk out of this place and be superwoman and superman or Wonder Woman. That was the answer last night, right? Maybe you guys will be, but you know, we can just take a step closer to what God has designed for us, and that would certainly give him much glory. And so expectations wise, when you come away from a conference or you come away from a dedicated time like this, there's always kind of that plateau effect, right? You have this great teaching and you get excited and you get energized, and then next week happens, right? And you got to go back to that household full of a gaggle of kids, and you got to go back to the grind of work, and you got to go back to the reality that you have to ask your husband to hang up the hand towel 45 times in 1 week. And some of those things that just kind of get under our skin after a time, my hope and my prayer is that we can move past just the plateau effect and coming down and then falling back into that complacency, but rather we would see a sustained improvement by God's grace. That's the only way we can do it, by God's grace, and that it would certainly be for His glory. And so as we approach this topic of marriage, even this morning, I hope that we have this sense of urgency. Why? Because the days truly are evil. And until the Lord comes, we must strive by His grace to remain faithful in this beautiful institution of marriage. And so our first session this morning is entitled, Family Can't Replace the Church. Family Can't Replace the Church. There's a quote in the book from John Piper. He says this concerning the church, that the church of Jesus Christ is the most important institution in the world, the assembly of the redeemed, the company of the saints, and the children of God are more significant in world history than any other group, organization, or nation. I love that quote because that is 100% truth. The redeemed remnant that the Lord has bought back to himself through the very blood of his own son, this is a mission critical focal point of human history. It's the institution of the church. And so this first institution that God created in this world was that of the covenant of marriage, and the covenant of marriage absolutely aligns very, very closely with the institution of the local church. So when we think of marriage, we can go all the way back to our Genesis series, all those many years ago, right? How long ago was that? Has it been 3 years? It feels like it's been a long time, but it probably hasn't been that long anymore. But going back all the way, what's that?
3 since we started.
Okay, yeah, so we're... Okay, yeah, so coming up on 3 years, hard to believe. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24. Do you remember the first glimpse that we have of this covenant of marriage? This is God's plan and design in marriage. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That word hold fast, maybe you memorized it in the King James, it was cleave. Right, cleave. It was leave and cleave. Do you remember that? Leave the father and mother and hold fast, or cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul reiterates this covenant and supports the institution even in his day. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse number 31, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. In verse 32, do you remember it? Paul summarizes it all and says, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So we know, as Dave Harvey mentions in writing about this defining moment, as you guys take this book home and you start to read through it, the chapters are really structured in what he calls defining moments. These are critical junctures that will present themselves in every single marriage. And it's in these defining moments that we can respond rightly in a biblical way that supports and acknowledges God's plan and design in biblical marriage. So this defining moment is that God is not simply pro-family. He invented family. He invented marriage. This is his institution, and he has given it what Dave Harvey says, his highest blessing. Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 12, the Ten Commandments, the law given to his covenant people. Honor your father and your mother. This is the fifth commandment. He goes on in verse number 14 of Exodus 20 to command faithfulness between husbands and wives in the seventh commandment. Two of the ten commandments are dedicated to what? And focus on the family. So God is certainly pro-family. Psalm 127 verse 3, behold, children are an heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so let me be clear, God is pro-family, but the focus and the intent of this message this morning is to remind ourselves that the family unit, the institution of the marriage, cannot replace the institution and the role of the local church in your life, in your home, in your marriage. God has a plan for both, and they are together to maximize the glory of God in this world. But oftentimes, if not careful, we can focus almost too much priority on the institution of marriage and the family at the expense of us engaging rightly in the context of a local church, relating to other covenant members, and being able to benefit in a reciprocal way in the local church. You see, friends, although God created marriage and family, and they are good, he never meant marriage and family to be an end in and of themselves, right? The goal of your life is not to be married. The goal of your home and your marriage is not to have a family and raise kids. This is not the end. And so in this world that we are living in, as a pilgrim that are just passing it through, we had to remember, what are the priorities of life? Why do I exist? And what is the role of marriage? What is the role of the local church, so that I can relate properly in these institutions? So marriage, the family, it's not an end in and of themselves, but what is? The glory of God. That is the purpose of my entire life, is to maximize the glory of God in and through my life. So in my marriage, it's about maximizing the glory of God, pointing others back to the one who saved me, putting on display the gospel that my marriage pictures. This is the purpose of marriage, that we put on display the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, yes, we want to be intentional. Yes, we want to be purposeful. Yes, we want to spend dedicated time. Yes, we want to make investments in our marriage, in our home. It's not to say that we should neglect them, but we have to remember that the church, the body of Christ, is the bride of Christ. And our marriage pictures this union. Therefore, we should engage rightly with this local church. And so the family, as good as it is, and as blessed as it is, and as intentional as it is, directly from the Lord, it will never replace the role of the local church. So then, there's a reality in our day that we must come to grips with, and it's this, that the local church is becoming less and less of a weekly priority, even for those who claim to be Christians. Even for those that claim to be Christians, being a part of a local church, and we're not talking about just attending, we're talking about an active participant, a covenant member in the body of Christ. This type of relationship is on a steep decline. We look at a Gallup report that came out in the year of 2020. It demonstrates that Americans' membership in houses of worship, and this is even broader, it would include mosque, and it would include other, you know, false religions. And so this is even, you know, doubly concerning as you consider that it's layering in a lot other aspects that would just not just focus in on evangelical Christianity. But this Gallup report demonstrates that Americans' membership in houses of worship continued to decline last year, dropping below 50% for the first time in the Gallup's 8-decade trend that they have been tracking church attendance and membership in houses of worship. We came in 2020 at 47% of Americans said they belonged to a community of faith. That's down from 50% in 2018 and down from 70% in the year of 1999. So the role of the church, the role of the body of Christ in the life of the family, it's becoming less and less relevant in Americans' eyes these days and in the world in general. But we know that God has something for us. We know that He has a specific plan and purpose for the church to play in our lives on a daily, weekly, and regular basis. So children, year after year, and decade after decade, are being told both implicitly and explicitly what? That other things are more important than the church, right? When the next generation looks on and they see it transitioning down from 50%, now 47%, down from 70% in the year 1999, we're having fewer and fewer of the next generation that are being exposed to the benefits and the purpose and the role of the body of Christ. What are those other things that become more important in the life of families? You guys could probably think of a few. What are some of those things that instead of attending church, instead of being a part of a house of worship, instead of investing in the next generation in the context of the local church, seeing mom and dad worship and sing praises to the Lord to hear the word of God preached and taught, what are other things that are families, they're not in the church, where are they going to? What are they filling that time with?
Sports.
Yeah. Look, I'm pro sports. Sports played an incredible role in my development, teaching me discipline and teamwork and working together and problem solving and a lot of other things that I could mention. But at the end of the day, if my son Grayson knows how to hit a ball, but he doesn't know Jesus Christ is Savior, that's a problem, right? That's a big problem. And so many of our neighbors, I'm probably preaching to the choir right now. You're just like, hey, look, I'm at a marriage conference on a Saturday, right? I'm here, right? You guys know this, but right? I mean, this is something that we have to stay resilient towards. We have to have some resolve, and we have to be careful to protect and guard that these types of mindsets and philosophies, they don't slip into the pews, right? What else? Sports is a good one. What are some other things that families are filling that time with, if not the church? Hobbies? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What else? Anything else come to mind?
Work, but like avoiding work.
Okay.
Sometimes it's avoidance.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes it is avoidance.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's kind of that workaholic, and that's where we live in, right? There's, especially now with so much virtual work being done, it's hard to provide those boundaries and that separation. The computer's always there, just need to clear those emails out one more time, you know, and you're taking away, time from potentially getting your family and in church. What else comes to mind? Good answers. Yeah, recreation, just Sunday fun day, right? You heard that one? Used to have a shirt, but I got rid of it. No, I don't have that one. But yeah, it's true. I mean, so many even Christians are willing to sacrifice that time of the church gathering together as the body of Christ for simple recreation. Now look, you know, it's important to have some R&R periodically throughout the year. That's important. Christ often had to retreat away and spend time with the Lord. But what was he doing? He was spending time with the Lord, right? There's nothing wrong with having fun. There's nothing wrong with a good planned vacation. That can be rich in memory, and it can be rich in just providing growth in relationships. But if we're consistently doing that at the expense of gathering together with the body of Christ and placing ourselves under the preaching and teaching the word of God, that's certainly a problem. Recreation, sports, athletics, work, all of these things, they can rise to an unhealthy state in our marriage, in our family, and they can, over time, they can be that slippery slope, that slow fade that we don't even recognize that there is a fade until we snap to and we realize 5 years later that, man, our marriage is in a bad place. Man, I'm distant from my spouse. How did this happen? How did I get here? We start to reverse engineer that, and we start to follow the breadcrumbs to that root cause analysis, and we understand that we allowed other things than the Word of God and the priority of the local church to take place in our lives. So it's a potential problem and a risk with this trend that we called out. Potential risk, and the problem with this is that we're playing directly into the hand of the enemy. Because this is exactly the game plan that Satan has for Christian homes, Christian marriages. Look, if I can't keep them from being saved, what am I going to keep them from doing, to being effective? I'm going to keep them complacent. I'm going to keep them satisfied. I'm going to keep them from pursuing each other in oneness. I'm going to keep them isolated. I'm going to keep them distracted. I'm going to keep his eyes in that smartphone. I'm going to keep her focus on that email box. I'm going to keep them chasing their tail and chasing kids around town and chauffeuring to a million different athletic events. Guys, this is something that we just have to be mindful of. We have to be careful, and we have to evaluate, where are we at in these things at the present? So we have to be mindful that the enemy has a plan, just as God has a perfect plan and design for us, that he has an intentional desire for us. Guess what? There's an enemy, the thief. Pastor Dave, I think, even called this out. The thief has come to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's your marriage. That's your family. That is his purpose. But, Christ says, I have come that you would have life and that you would have it abundantly. So the enemy possesses a fervent desire to see our marriage fail, and his primary means to use to bring about this slow fade is separating the covenant of marriage away from the covenant of membership. The primary means that the enemy uses to bring about this slow fade is to separate the covenant of marriage away from the covenant of membership. These two have always been designed before the foundation of the world to be connected and to be pursued together for the glory of God. So really, we're talking about a shift. We're talking about a shift away from a family first mentality and shifting to what Dave Harvey will call a kingdom first mentality. A kingdom first mentality. In his teaching and in this chapter, he talks about, look, the end goal, again, is not the marriage. That's not the end destination, that I just have an incredible marriage and, you know, pat on the back, job well done, you had a great marriage. That's awesome. That's great. But really, there's more to it there. There's this kingdom first mentality where we are looking to expand the glory and the magnificence of God in and through our marriage, that we put all that he has done on display, not so that others can look at us and say, wow, they really have a great marriage. Hashtag, what's the hashtag? Marriage goals? Relationship goals? What's the hashtag? Couple goals? Whatever, right? You've seen those hashtags, right? You see this, you know, this, you know, nice looking couple, and they're doing this fancy little thing, and man, it looks all spiffy, and it's a shiny, you know, coin that, man, I wish I could do that. Hashtag marriage goals, couple goals, whatever it is. That's not reality. The reality is that life and marriage is messy, and that we need help. And we need support. And if we stay on the island of isolation, our marriage is destined at best to be a family first mentality. And at worst, it likely will develop into that slow fade of what? The enemy's plan. The thief's plan to steal, kill, and destroy. So when we shift our mindset and we set this proper priority, we tend to steward that very thing in a bit more intentional way. So when we understand that family and marriage in and of itself is not the aim or the goal, we engage in a different way with different purposes in mind. I engage with my wife not just so that I can feel better about checking a box that I communicated with my wife, or not that we had a meaningful conversation, but that I engage with my wife for the purpose of what? Building up the body in Christ. That as I engage with my wife, I'm engaging with what? A fellow covenant member. And as our relationship is strong, so is the church strengthened. And when the church is strengthened, the glory of God is maximized in a more real way in that community. So there's a downstream effect. This isn't about me. Marriage isn't about me. It's not about my purposes. It's not about my pleasure. It's not about my desires or what I want to accomplish in marriage. Marriage is about what God has planned for it. And so we're going to look at a few aspects of marriage this morning as we consider family cannot replace the church. And this is really all about establishing a lasting marriage. A lasting marriage that accomplishes what God has designed for marriage to accomplish in the context of the body of Christ. The first point we're going to look at is, for your marriage to last, you can't walk alone. For marriage to last, you can't walk alone. The author of Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 24 and 25, very familiar verses, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Say, how in the world does this verse have an application of marriage? You're talking a lot about the church. I thought that whole covenant membership thing was on Sunday mornings. Eric, you might be confused. This is a marriage conference. Why are we talking so much about the church? Well, we want to talk about the benefit and the purpose of the church in really our marriage and in our family and this reciprocal nature that supports these beautiful institutions that God has established. So one of the greatest benefits of being a part of a church is that God uses the church community to protect our marriages and to help them grow. So God has given us the church as a means of grace to help protect our marriages and to ensure that your marriage isn't that stagnant pond with all that nasty green algae growing in there and snapping turtles taking over and just all. I'm just trying to create a pretty nasty picture there. I don't know if you were tracking me on that. That's not what we want our marriage to feel like and to look like, right? We want it to be springs that are springing forth from the ground, fresh water that is never ending, that is gives sustenance and vibrance in our life, that we feel refreshed. Is that how your marriage feels right now? And if it doesn't, I wonder, maybe is it because we're not engaging properly within the context of covenant marriage? Is it maybe that we've neglected the role of the church in our own marriage? Maybe we're not being protected by a body. Maybe we're not being encouraged to help grow in our walk with the Lord and in our marriage. And maybe that's the problem. And so God has a plan, and his plan is to use the church to protect our marriages. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in some of our Q&A after this session. But this is mission critical. If your marriage is struggling and nobody knows it, that's a problem. And friends, there's hope. And by God's grace, I pray that we as elders would present the church and lead the church in a way that is approachable, in a way that is, it is welcome to be transparent, is a safe place to be transparent. It is a safe place to demonstrate the brokenness that Pastor David talked about last night. Why? Because, big shocker here, you ready for this? We are all broken in sin. We all have some struggle or some point of failure. Our marriages are never 100% thriving at any given moment, right? So hey, let's just be honest and say, hey, my name's Eric, and I could use help in my marriage. And we could go around the room and we could all say that. Why? Because it's true. It's a reality. And so it's up to us by God's grace that we would embrace the opportunity to partner together as the body of Christ to look out for one another's marriages. And by God's grace, that the church would look out in a reciprocal way for our marriage. Being a part of the body of Christ is about knowing others and being known by others. This is God's plan. This is why marriage can never replace the church, because this is the role that God has designed for the church to play in our lives, in our marriages. And in our isolated island of just the marriage, man, we can do all kinds of gymnastics of justifying our responses, justifying our sinful behavior, excusing away neglect of an aspect of our marriage. Can't we? The heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man, I tell you what, I'm right up there with the best of them with justifying my actions and minimizing the sinful behavior that I display in my marriage. So we have to get out of that isolation. We have to get out of that separation, and we have to pursue oneness not only together within the institution of marriage, but we have to pursue oneness and unity within the context and the institution of the body of Christ. So this is God's plan. This is God's role. Not only the greatest benefits of being part of a church is that God uses the church community to protect our marriages and help them grow. We also see in Hebrews chapter number 10 that there is a stirring up. It produces what? Love and good works in the church, in the home, in our marriages. There's also encouraging one another. We see that in verse number 25. But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you see the day drawing near? No man knows that time or that hour. But man, I look around and it sure feels like the day is drawing near. It feels like society and culture is certainly waxing worse and worse. It feels like the institution of marriage has never been more under attack than it is now. Is the day drawing near? It certainly is, because we're one day closer than we were yesterday. So the day is drawing near from that regard, right? So redeem the time. Right? Make the most of these moments that we have in our marriage in the church. So there's an opportunity as the day is drawing near to do what? To encourage one another. Hey, as we see marriages falling along the wayside, as we see people throwing in the towel, as we see the definition of marriage being thrown out the window from a biblical perspective, as we see all these discouraging things happening in this world that we live in, the body of Christ is to do what? To encourage. I'm encouraged right now that we've got 12-ish couples that are here. That was that good math, Dave? Yeah, roughly. We've got roughly 12 couples here that are taking a step in the relationship with the Lord in the context of the marriage, also in the body of Christ. That's encouraging. Although there's a lot of negativity, all those are a lot of really bad things going on. Man, this is refreshing, is it not? To know that God is still at work. Yeah, we may be a minority. I don't know if we truly are or not. Certainly feels like it at times. We might be a minority, but guess what? We're still here. God is still working in the church. He's still working in your marriage. There's no accident that you're here. Be encouraged. And that's what the body of Christ is designed to do. But encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. How many of you need some encouragement from time to time? Let me ask you this. Where do you turn to when you and your spouse are in conflict? Is it to the church? Is it to your fellow covenant members? Is it to your elders, your pastors? Unfortunately, far too often we don't turn to anyone. We just oftentimes accept defeat. We oftentimes just remain on that island, accepting that that's just how he is. That's just how she is. This is just my life. When we don't turn to anyone, we give in to Satan's deceptive plan. That plan is that isolation. It keeps us on that island, and we begin to slowly waste away in what? What develops when we don't pursue intentionally God's design in marriage through the local church? What happens when we stay on that island? We waste away in these two aspects of shame and fear. Assumptions of how people will respond if they only knew how we were really doing. Have you ever had these questions swirl through your mind? Christian couples like us, they're not supposed to struggle like this. They're not supposed to struggle with these issues. And so you have shame, you have discouragement. Christian couples aren't supposed to talk to each other like the way that we just talk to each other. So we're at a crossroads when we consider God's design in covenant marriage through the body of Christ. I trust God and his plan and his way that we would do battle, spiritual warfare against this thief that has come for your marriage. That we would put on the whole armor of God. That we would remember that our marriage is worth fighting for. No matter how many years have wasted away, no matter how many discouraging moments you may have, no matter how far you feel your marriage may have slid, is his ear too dull to hear? Is his arm too short to save? These reciprocal questions are absolutely no. His arm is not too short. His ear is not too dull. If we simply come to the Lord and we ask for help and we reach out to the body of Christ, there is encouragement. There is stirring up. There is love and good works. There is progress that can be made by the glory of God. So Dave Harvey asks in this chapter, how about you? How are you doing at meeting with God's people? Do you see it? This is a great question. David asked this question. Do you see the church as an essential, do you see the church as essential to the future of your marriage? Do you see the church as essential to the future of your marriage? Do you make being with the people of God a priority? Not just a tack on, not just something that you do, not just vain repetition, but do you see the body of Christ, these people right here around these tables, do you see these individuals, these couples, these families as an essential part of the future of your marriage? And if the answer to that question is anything but absolutely yes, then we have some work to do in our minds of understanding the role and the purpose of the body of Christ for our marriage. The second point that we're going to call out this morning is that for your marriage to last, for it to really endure, to see that sustainability, that progress into the days ahead, in order for your marriage to last, you can't idolize the family. God gave us marriage for our enjoyment. Ecclesiastes tells us to enjoy the wife of your youth. Genesis calls out the purpose of this covenant of marriage to go be fruitful and multiply. Kids are a blessing from the Lord, amen? There's much for us in the role of parenting that can serve as a means of sanctification in our own relationship with the Lord. But once again, parenting is not the end goal in and of itself. God can use parenting. God can use our relationship and marriage, but they are not the end goal in and of themselves. It is the glory of God. So God is using these different biblical family roles to do what? To point us back to himself. And for us to engage rightly in the context of the body of Christ. One day our kids will grow up. Some have already experienced this. They will leave the home. What then? What is our marriage when we have slipped into this trap of idolizing the family and our kids, child rearing? And all of that activity, it was for our own purposes. It met our own needs. It gave us an identity, a significance in life that was not fully aligned with God's purposes. In a similar sense, we can't idolize our spouses to the degree that our joy, our stability, our satisfaction in life all stem from whom? Our spouse. Have you slipped into that reality of being so dissatisfied in your relationship with the Lord because of him? Because of her? Seeking to find your joy and your satisfaction and your fulfillment in life only through the context of your marriage? Is Christ enough? Answer that. Question is, absolutely he is. We can fall into this trap of not only idolizing the family and kids and that whole role of child rearing, but we can also fall into the trap of just idolizing our spouses and just being consumed with trying to shove our spouse in this box and this square peg and this round hole, and it's just constantly this pull and this tug. You're not meeting my expectations. You're not doing this. You're not being a spiritual leader in these ways that I thought you would be. These unmet expectations that completely shatter not only our idea of marriage, but our relationship with the Lord. The third aspect we want to point out in regards to ensuring that your marriage will last is that you must prioritize the church. I hit some of this in the introduction, but we're going to dive into this just a bit more. You must prioritize the church. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 if you have your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We start reading verse 4, and there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what? The common good. For the common good. Good. Jumping down to verse number 11. Verse number 11. All these gifts, are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The reality of it is, in the context of marriage and in the context of the body of Christ, we have all been given a spiritual gift. We talk about spiritual gifts a lot in the church, but have you thought about your spiritual gift extending to your spouse? Have you thought about how God has uniquely designed you, how he has uniquely created you to partner with your spouse in the context and covenant of marriage? Have you thought about how you can come alongside your spouse with how God has created you and gifted you to be a help? And an encouragement and to serve your spouse in marriage. This is all part of God's plan and design. Not only in the institution of marriage, but obviously in the institution of local church. This is what Paul is calling out here primarily in 1 Corinthians 12. In marriage, in church, God desires us to know and to be known. Is that a reality in your life right now? Right, that's not a complicated question. I just want you to ponder that for a moment. In the local church right now, are you known? Do you have other individuals that know not just about you, but really know your life circumstances, where you're at, what your challenges are, that they are actively engaging with you and partnering with you in prayer? They're coming alongside and helping in tangible, real ways. And then are you, on the flip side, are you engaging in truly knowing somebody else or another couple in the context of the local church? Again, not just, hey, I know your background. Hey, you know, we've rubbed shoulders a lot over the last few years. Hey, we've been in the same church for over a decade, but do you really know them? Know how to pray for their kids. Know how to pray for the marriage. Know how to come alongside and help in unique and specific ways. Why? Because you truly know them. Friends, this is what God desires for us. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the habit of some. This is what it looks like to really stir each other up. In order to stir each other up, we have to be in close proximity with one another. We have to share experiences. We have to get to know each other's lives. We have to share some testimony. We have to share what God's doing in our life and be able to hear what God's doing in your life. This is what stirring up looks like. The challenge that we have in this day that we live in, an American brand of Christianity, is that there is a privatization of the Christian faith. There is a privatization of struggles and difficulties in our marriage. And this privatization, that aspect of our spiritual lives and our relational lives, this is a direct offense to the very core purposes that God created these institutions to fulfill. God created marriages for us to be known. Right? This is exactly going all the way back to the garden. He looked at all of his creation and he said it was very good, but there was one thing that was not good. It was not good that man be alone. So what did he do? He made a helper. We can be in a marriage, but yet very much still be alone, can we not? We can be in a marriage, but we can still be very much alone in that marriage. I wonder, is that your situation? Over time, the well-worn paths of poor conflict resolution, the lack of transparency, the hard heart, the stiff neck, the defensiveness, the stubbornness. It's caused a rift to the degree that it has driven you away from each other. Yes, still under the same roof. Sure, still maybe parenting your kids, maybe accomplishing some task together. Maybe living out some of the American dream and being successful in the world's eyes, but in reality, maybe there's very little fruit on the branch of your marriage. So friends, we must prioritize the church in our marriage because God, in his providence, has uniquely built his church to meet the challenges that he already knows you are going to face. Did you get that? Let me say that one more time. We must prioritize the church in our marriage. Why? Because God, in his providence, has uniquely built the church to meet the challenges that he already knows you're going to face. So the couples that are here, the church that he has gathered together in this building as Liberty Hills Bible Church, he has uniquely brought all those couples together so that next week, next year, 10 years from now, when you hit that crisis moment and you doubt what God's doing in your marriage and you doubt if there's a path forward and you're not sure if it can be reconciled and you feel like throwing in the towel, God has uniquely brought this church together to meet you there. And they have gifts and they have experiences and they have a testimony to come alongside and to link arm in arm and encourage us and to remind us that there is hope beyond this challenge. We must prioritize the church in our marriage because we need the benefits of others' gifts in the context of the local church. I need your unique and specific gifts that God has given to you. I need those in my life. I need those in my marriage. My marriage will be incomplete. My walk with the Lord will be incomplete. Our body, our church will be incomplete if it does not have you in it, actively engaged, partnering as a covenant member for the purpose of what? Protecting each other's marriages and encouraging us to stay the course. So although we know the state of marriage and relationship with the Lord will never be about the frequency of the checked box of church attendance, we do know that God has uniquely equipped the body of Christ to be one of the primary means of grace to ensure your marriage is a lasting one. You want a lasting marriage that endures to the end? It must be lived out in the context of the local church. Dave Harvey reminds us all that certainly we can skip church, we can make memories with our family, we can go to that Sunday brunch, we can take the day trips to the countryside. I don't know if anybody does that, but you could do that, and it would be a good memory. We could do a lot of other things with the time that we have in our marriage. As harmless as they may seem, and as significant as these choices may be, over time, they will reinforce to your spouse and to your family, to the next generation that God has entrusted into your care. They will reinforce and communicate something very specific about what you value most. And it's likely not your marriage, and it's certainly not the local church. There's a higher call. Family is no replacement for the church. The church needs you and you need the church. So what is this higher call? The higher call is this. It's for us to truly understand marriage in light of this kingdom first mindset. Our marriage, our relationship with our spouse, even above all the joy and happiness that can be realized, it is primarily about making us holy. It is about changing us into the image of God. That's what happens when we engage in the body of Christ. That's what happens when we live out marriage rightly in the context of the local church. We don't just get more happy. We get more holy. We become more like Christ. And when we're more like Christ, we're less like our old man. And when we're less like our old man, we can further put on display the glory of God in the context of marriage. And so, friends, this is the opportunity that we have in front of us as we consider that family can't replace church. Would you join me in prayer as we close this first session? And we'll transition to some discussion questions as a couple here in just a few moments. Father God, I pray now that, just again, in my feeble attempt, I pray that you would take these principles that I'm sure you've encouraged and led Dave Hardy so many years ago to write this book and to compile just this good wisdom. Thank you for it. I know it's challenged me. I pray that we would be mindful of these realities. I pray that we would remember your design in marriage all the way back to the garden, remembering that we're to leave father and mother as men, and we're to hold fast to our wife as two become one flesh. The beauty of that design, Father, is not meant to be lived out in its own vacuum and silo, but it's meant to be lived out in the context of the local church, to put on display this more eternal union of Jesus Christ and your church. So, Father, I pray that we would lean in and we would engage with those realities in mind, and it would change our intentionality, that if we've been comfortable, complacent, stagnant, we've been satisfied, I pray that you would stir us up, not in some flash in the pan, some hype or some emotional way, but Father, something that is lasting, something that is spirit-led, something that is biblical. And that happens, Father, as we just desire to engage in the local church. And I pray that you would do a great work as we consider the church's role in our marriages. Father, we pray these things in your name.